Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Good morning and welcome to Bread for the Journey Radio. We're a program of Bread for the Journey International, and we're a 25-year-old nonprofit organization that celebrates the ingenuity of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Bread for the Journey is primarily a volunteer organization with 20 chapters in 20 cities around the country, and we'd like to grow. Each chapter is run by a small group of people in a particular community who pool money from friends, family, and colleagues and give it away in small increments called micro grants to people like the woman I'll be interviewing today, Catherine Kraft. Our Bread for the Journey chapter in Austin gave her $1,000 to benefit her organization, Conspire Theater of Austin. Conspire works with incarcerated women, helping them to explore new possibilities for their future through creative writing and theater, whether that involves that future involves, you know, remaining in prison or being released. Catherine Kraft, who likes to be called Kat, is Conspire Theater's executive director, and she's with us today. Kat has over 15 years' experience as an actor, writer, director, and theater maker. She received her master's degree in applied drama from Goldsmiths College, University of London. Good morning, Kat.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. We're glad you're here.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me.
Great. Kat, with so many years of training and experience in the theater, my first question really is, what inspired you to reach out to incarcerated women?
Well, actually, what inspired me was work in my MA program that I did in London. Applied drama is theater for social and educational outreach. And when I went into that program, I was very focused on working with young people. That was what my previous experience had mainly been. And actually, my main professor in that program, Dr. Kiba McAvinci, her research specialty is programming with incarcerated women, theater programming with incarcerated women pretty much across the world internationally. And when we came to that topic, I was so inspired by what she was talking about and what we were learning about that I had this real aha moment when I realized that that pretty much is exactly what I wanted to be doing. That work really brings together three of my main interests, which is social justice, feminism, and theater. So it was like, great, I can put them all together.
That is really exciting. I was with my nephew yesterday, who just graduated from college, and we were chatting a little bit about what the next stages were, and I gave him a toast to curiosity and clarity, and talked about how this time in his life sort of is a time to be really curious. And one of the first things is to, in my opinion, to pay attention to the things that make your heart sing. Like, what is it that happens in a moment that makes your heart jump and feel alive? And it sounds to me like this is exactly what you're describing.
Yes, it really is. I hesitate to use words like calling or epiphany, anything like that. Right. But I think that the physical sensation of it was very similar, that just sort of realization that there was this thing that already existed, actually, that other people were doing that fit so perfectly into the kind of theatrical work I want to be making, and how to enact social change as an artist and as a theater maker. For me, the intersection of that is really important.
That's really beautiful. Were you from Austin before you went away to college?
I was living in Austin. I grew up in Dallas. I grew up in South Dallas in Oak Cliff, and then moved to Austin after I got my bachelor's degree, and then was in Austin for a few years and in Chicago and back in Austin, and then I moved to London to do my master's. But I feel like I have very deep roots in Austin at this point, so my husband and I moved back to Austin when
right,
I graduated.
It makes sense. Mm-hmm. So are you working in more than one facility, and where are you doing the work that you're doing with these women?
Our main work is at the Travis County Correctional Complex in Del Valle, Texas, which is just south of Austin. It's just about 20 minutes outside of Austin. And I also do team building workshops twice a year at the Gatesville prison, the women's prison in Gatesville, with another organization called Truth Be Told. Mm-hmm. And we also just started classes with women in recovery at Austin Recovery Center, which is a drug and alcohol rehabilitation facility.
Are they incarcerated in a sense?
They recovery center? Sometimes they talk about it as if they're incarcerated. We work with women who are in the 30-day inpatient program. So they are still kind of in an institutional setting. It's a very positive and supportive setting, but it can still be very difficult for the women going through the program.
I understand. I just didn't know if they were part of the whole scene of working with incarcerated women. So in the beginning, Travis County Correctional was the place that you began. How difficult was it to get your foot in the door there?
I was actually surprised by how easy it was. When we moved back to Austin, I spent about another year working with young people before I really decided to take the leap and try and start this kind of programming myself. And I just started contacting people involved in criminal justice in Austin. So I emailed some judges, some lawyers, just kind of whoever I could think of and whoever I found while I was on the internet. Mm-hmm. And people started pointing me towards the social services coordinator at the Travis County Correctional Complex. And I got in touch with her and just sent her an email that said, I'm sort of interested in trying out some theater curriculum with the women in, that you offer programming to. And I had a meeting with her, and she basically told me I could start immediately. And
wow.
Yeah, I was like, wait, I don't actually have anything planned yet. So I took about a month to plan some workshops, find someone to co-facilitate with me, to be my co-teacher, and really just kind of jumped in feet first.
I wonder, it just makes me automatic. I have some friends who work with men, some here in San Quentin and some at Sing Sing in New York State. And the experience of getting your foot in the door to work with men is really different than what I'm hearing you talk about. And it makes me wonder about the difference between the administrators, women and men administrators, versus, or if it's just having to do with inmates or just... I have no idea. Do you have any?
Yeah, I do. I have some theories.
I'd love to hear.
I think that I was very lucky. I think I'm very lucky to live in Austin for a number of reasons, but one of them is to be in the Travis County Sheriff's Office, mm-hmm. To be able to partner with them and to work with them, because the Travis County Jail is very big on programming. They really want volunteers coming out. They want people offering programming to both the women and the men who are incarcerated there. Mm-hmm. So I know that other people who work with women who are incarcerated at like long-term prisons in Texas, which is under the Texas Department of Criminal Justice, TDCJ, they have more hoops to jump through, more things that they might have a slightly more difficult time.
Right.
Whereas I feel like the Travis County Sheriff's Office has always been very supportive of what I do and really seem to understand the value of it. And that's not what I've heard from people who work in different facilities across the country. So I think we're actually really lucky.
Yeah, I think you are. And so I'm kind of curious now about the actual work itself.
Uh-huh.
And what it is you're doing in the prison. Give me a picture of a day, session.
Right. So a session, we work with both women in minimum security and maximum security. So mm-hmm. we do two different classes a week, and they're an hour and a half each. We come into the jail. When we work with the women in minimum security, we have a classroom that we go to the classroom, and then the women are brought to us in the classroom. We start with free writing and checking in about how our week has been, we really try and focus on things that are new and good in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So women might talk about visitors they've gotten or letters they've received or, you know, share like how their case is going and what's going on with their court dates. And then we move into, playing games. We play a lot of fun theater games that are about, you know, on the surface, they're about having fun and laughing together and being really silly, but they also work a lot on communication skills, team building, just making connections and building a positive, supportive community within that space.
Mm-hmm.
And once we play a few games, then we'll move into kind of a main activity for the day, which might be slightly more traditionally theatrical, like creating scenes based on a topic or on a theme, or writing short stories or poems, or looking at how to get on our feet and work with a poem and perform it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we close out, we check back in and talk about how we're feeling now that the class is over for the day. And we also talk about what's one thing that we've accomplished today, either in this class or before this class.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to really begin and end on a really positive note.
What is the typical age range of the women that are in a session with you?
It varies. I've had women who are 17 years old, mm-hmm. and I've had women who are in their 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a very wide age range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the challenges? Tell me about even one or two challenges you've had when you're actually in a session with a group. Something has come up, difficult to handle.
Yeah, there can be, especially with women in the maximum security unit, they don't get a lot of chances to release energy or to blow off a lot of steam.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they spend all day, every day with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think any group of women who spent all day, every day with each other in a confined space, you're going to have some interpersonal problems that are going on. And, you know, so we might find that two women in the group really don't like each other,
right.
You know, or someone, you know, or there, I mean, there's a lot of mental illness. So we might have a woman who, you know, has a lot of mental illness problems and, you know, suffers from depression or ADD or just has a hard time focusing and concentrating for the whole class. So, which is why it's great and it's really important for us to have two facilitators or teachers in the room at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So that if something happens, if there is an interpersonal problem, if something emotional comes up for someone, we've had women, you know, we've had women read a poem or write a story that, you know, brings them to tears or brings them to a lot of anger. And so it's really good to have someone who can step off and, you know, really handle that situation, calm the situation down, while the second person can continue to facilitate the class and keep the activity going.
Mm-hmm. So when something like that arises, there's a second facilitator that might work with them. Is there a sort of philosophy to step in and sort of be with that person and help them through the situation?
Yes, definitely. And there's also, we really work with the idea that whatever you bring to the room and whatever's going on in your life at that moment is okay.
Right.
You know, like if you come into the room angry, that's fine.
Right.
We can handle that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you come into the room really upset, if something really horrible has just happened, that's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to close that off.
So are you, do you feel like you, as teachers, might adjust what you're doing in that day, or, you know, sort of wrap around whatever it is that is happening with these women so that you incorporate the real feelings that they're bringing into the room with your lesson plan?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We might, Michelle Dahlenberg, who is our associate director and co-facilitates with me, she and I have worked together so long now that, I mean, just last week, because the jail is a short-term facility, so the women come in and out of our class, we might have a different group every week. So we walked in last week to our minimum security class, and it was a whole new group. There was not a single woman that we'd ever met in the group, and we had no idea that it was going to be a totally brand new group. So, you know, we looked at each other, and we looked at the class, and we were like, hold on, just give us a minute. We're going to confer because we need to completely change what we're going to do today.
Yeah, perfect. You
know, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have to be very flexible.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading through some statistics on women in prison, and I saw some statistics about the percentage of women who are dealing with mental illness. They were. I don't even want to use the number because they combined it with women who had also recently seen a mental health professional, and I put those into two very different categories. But I imagine that you're dealing with a lot of emotional stuff that comes up that gets triggered when you begin to address, when you begin to act out in a theater way, when you begin to write, when you begin to hear somebody else's story. And I do want you to speak to this, but we have to take a break for a moment. And so my listening audience, please stay with us. We're talking to Catherine Kraft of Conspire Theater in Austin, who is doing theater and writing with women, incarcerated women. I have a lot more questions for Catherine. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
So are you connected to the meaning of your life? Are your relationships and career satisfying and fulfilling? How about your parenting? Are you feeling some challenges there? Listen for He Said, She Said every week with husband and wife, Jonathan Nadelman and Carrie Dino. In addition to being married and the parents of a spirited daughter, Carrie and Jonathan share over 40 years of clinical experience as psychotherapists and want to hear all about the challenges you're facing. He Said, She Said airs live Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you lost, fed up, knowing you're better and yet not knowing why? Let Derek O'Neill transform the not knowing into the knowing by showing you the way. Whether it's not being able to drop the excess weight, to unhealthy relationships or finances that you know you deserve, Derek provides insights that are like magnets to invite what you want in your life and repel what you don't want. Tune in to Derek now to discover how to improve your life immediately and unleash the winner that you know you are and others need to see. Listen Mondays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Variety.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking with Catherine Kraft, Executive Director of Conspire Theater in Austin, Texas, that is doing theater work and writing with incarcerated women. So at the close of the last session, we were talking about mental illness, and I was saying that I was a little hesitant about even saying aloud the statistics that I had seen around how many women in prison suffered from mental illness, because the bundling that I saw combined people who were diagnosed with a mental illness in the same category as women who'd gone into at once or twice to see a mental health professional. And I think those are two really different categories. So can you speak a little bit to this issue of mental illness and what you see when you're there in the prison?
Yeah. Yes, and the statistics that I find and that I use, you know, when we're writing grants and just researching these issues are actually really staggeringly high as well, reaching into like 85 to 90% of women who are incarcerated, you know, have faced severe interpersonal trauma, really high percentages who have experienced, you know, childhood sexual abuse, domestic violence.
Right.
Really, really high levels of severe trauma. And I don't like to generalize, and I certainly don't like to walk into a room making assumptions about the women I'm going to be working with. So there are women who, you know, have not faced these things, do not have these challenges in their lives, but there are many who do. And I've heard many stories, and I've heard, you know, many women talk about things that have happened in their lives that, I mean, are just horrifying, you know, just really, really horrifying. And a lot of women talk about, many incarcerated women have issues with substance abuse and, you know, alcoholism, addiction, and they talk very openly about using these substances as coping mechanisms for things that have happened in their lives. So I think there's two sides of that. Well, there are women who certainly, you know, that's not their story. There are many, many women who that is at least part of their story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you were to just off the top of your head talk about statistics and you saw something that was at 80 to 90% and you don't trust it, what is your experience? Mm-hmm. I mean, what does your experience tell you?
My experience tells me that the higher statistics are very close, are probably pretty accurate.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
Yeah. You know, and once again, I just, you know, I want to say that that's not every woman's experience, but I think there is a really high percentage of women who have faced just really high levels of violence and trauma and, you know, from a very young age.
Mm-hmm. It just sort of breaks my heart when I think about mental illness, that prisons are the places that we're holding people who really should be in therapy.
Oh, yes. We are holding people who, you know, have a lot of problems with addiction, or, you know, a lot of the, not a lot, but some of the women that I work with are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're released, they're going to be homeless again.
They don't have anywhere to go.
Right. They don't have any kind of support system or a positive support system that's going to help them and not take them right back to where they were.
Right. So I want to talk a little bit, you know, about what gives you the strength to do this work, and how have you, I don't know, how do you deal with your doubts and how, you know, what has happened when you've actually failed at something? I mean, I have to presume that you've had failures and
I just
heard a commencement address yesterday at my nephew's graduation ceremony, and he talked so much about the failures that he's had and what great, if you mine your failures, what great lessons have come out of them for him. And let's just go into this area. Can you talk a little bit about what keeps you strong?
What keeps me strong is that we really create, and we are so dedicated to creating a space of joy and playfulness in our classroom. Mm-hmm. And we are getting better and better and better at it. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, at the end of class, I do this just as much for the women as for Michelle and myself, is when we go around and say, you know, one word for how we're feeling at the end of today. I hear uplifted, ecstatic, you know, exuberant, happy, content. I feel better. I feel so much better than I did when I came in. I'm so glad I came to class. I wasn't going to come today, but I came and I'm just so happy. I've never had women who care about me the way the women in this room care about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just hearing that again and again and again consistently, really, I mean, I just, how could I stop? How could I
right.
stop going?
Right,
you know?
Right. So it's an uplifting experience. Mm-hmm. So are there experiences that you've had that bring up doubt I'll just have you stopping to think about whether or not this is something you want to do. Does it ever happen?
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
I can't think of any like really specific instances at the moment, but I know there have been times when I've brought in exercises or games, or I've come in with an idea and the women in the class just don't want to, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever reason, mm-hmm. it might've worked a month ago. I might've mm-hmm. brought this same game in and like everyone loved it, but it's a different group now. And I come in and, you know, they don't want to do it. And maybe someone is rude about it. And maybe some kind of interpersonal conflict starts flaring up. And, you know, there have been times, especially when I was first starting, when something would happen and I really didn't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was supposed to do and what the best way to handle a really delicate situation was. Mm-hmm. You know, and there have been times when I've left, or, you know, left the jail, left the workshop and thought, oh my God, I just handled that really poorly. Mm-hmm. I didn't give that woman what she needed, you know, and maybe a day later it's like, oh, of course, now I know. You know, now I know what I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing that means that the next time it happens, I have a much better grasp on what I should do.
Right.
And yeah, it's a horrible feeling. I mean, it can be a really terrible feeling when you walk out of a room and just think, man, I just did not do that right. You know? But you just have to, you know, you just have to keep going back and doing it and learning and growing.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And any larger failures that you have, mined so that you've become more skilled at your work or have fine-tuned the specialty areas that really work for you? Or
yeah, when we started this new class at Austin Recovery, we started the class because the women in our class at the jails consistently say things like, now I remember what it's like to have fun sober.
Mm-hmm.
This brings me back to just being comfortable with being sober. So we thought, well, gosh, we need to be working with people with addiction.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
You know, outside of the jail setting. So Austin Recovery, we just learned it's a very different setting. And the women, you know, they're just not in the same place in their lives. So We had a very difficult time the first month kind of trying to figure out what we should be doing. And I felt like some of our workshops didn't go very well, like I didn't quite have a handle on what I needed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But the longer we're there, we really focus now on, they have a big commitment to building positive community there. And so we really focus on that. And that seems to be something that the women really appreciate and that we are doing very well. So that has been something that has been a really good learning experience for me. And I feel like my practice has grown and deepened by being able to go into this different setting and really adapt what we do to this different group of women.
So what you have in your, within your program, something that you call the four pillars of Conspire Theater. Mm-hmm. They are life and leadership skills, advocacy for transformative justice, playful and supportive community, and creative expression. Mm-hmm. Can you break those down a little bit for us? Or expand them, I guess. Talk a little bit about perhaps even the first one, life and leadership skills. What are you doing? And how is it that that's an important piece of the work that you're doing with these women in prison?
Well, I think a lot of the times, I think it's an important part of the work because we want the women to be able to take the skills that we develop and then use them in other parts of their lives. So if we have women who become comfortable, more comfortable speaking in front of the rest of the class or, you know, leading games, kind of helping and directing other women in the class, we want them to be able to take those skills that they're developing with us and then take them into the rest of their lives. So we talk a lot about like, okay, we've just played this game, we've just done this activity, what were the skills that we used? And how can you then take this and use this somewhere else? You know, and we feel like it's really important that women, you know, women in our classes feel like they are capable and competent and can take on these challenges so that when they face other challenges in their lives, they have more confidence and courage to do so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go through the pillars.
I was going to ask you about this.
Creative expression is something that, again, we think is really important, both kind of in a practical sense and just an arts-based sense. Like, it's a lot of fun, you know, to be able to really use your imagination and work with a group of people to create a piece of theater or a piece of art or writing. And once again, that can apply to your daily life just in, you know, learning to think in new and creative ways can spread into all parts of your life.
Right.
Playful, supportive community is that, I mean, that's something that we focus on so much because since a lot of the women that we do work with have experienced a lot of trauma, it can affect you physically, it can affect you emotionally, it affects how you interact with other people, how you speak to yourself. And we find that just engaging in a lot of play and in a lot of fun can counter that. And it can also give the women a community of other women to help them and to help them learn and grow and be supported while they're incarcerated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And advocacy for transformative justice, we really believe that the way the current criminal justice system is set up isn't working and that we're throwing people away and that we're locking people up who really need help in other ways. And we're taking women out of their communities. We're taking them away from their children. And we are kind of condemning another generation of children to grow up without mothers for a lot of times for nonviolent substance abuse related crimes. And so how can we as an organization advocate for these women and how can we advocate for larger social change in the criminal justice system in the United States?
And how are you doing that? Right now, the work that you're doing is within the prison and with these women. Mm-hmm. Are you doing something greater where you're speaking to other audiences or trying to make some change in policy?
Well, we are organizing and getting ready to launch a new program Our program within the jail is called Rehearsing Possibilities. Mm-hmm. And our program that we are trying to launch outside of the jail in the community will be called Performing Possibilities. And we want to form a theater ensemble of formerly incarcerated women to create shows for the Austin community that deal with issues of incarceration and these women's experiences and with what people can do.
You know? I was just about to ask you about women who have been released from from prison. Have you made contact or have they made contact with you? Have there been any instances in the last few years of this happening?
Yeah, we actually have a woman who, Lauren Johnson, who writes, she used to write pretty consistently for our blog. I met her at the Travis County Jail in our class, and then she contacted me when she was released, and she's on our board now. I've had another woman who's still currently incarcerated who I write letters with. One thing that we are really trying to learn how to do is stay in touch with women once they're released. And I think that that's something that a lot of programs that work inside of the prisons and jails are trying to figure out how to help once people are released back in the community.
Yeah, so in a minute we're going to have to close again, but I'm thinking in this last segment I'd like to perhaps talk about the future of these women. Like what's happening while they're in prison but not in a session with you? Is the writing that they're doing continuing? Are you getting any reports of them? How is the work that you're doing with them in prison impacting the other hours of the day that they have in their day there in prison? And then what's happening when they're released? And we can talk a little bit about what your dreams are for Performing Possibilities.
Great.
Sound good to you? Great. Mm-hmm. All right. So to our listening audience, stay with us. We're talking to Catherine Kraft of Conspire Theater of Austin, who's doing theater work and writing with incarcerated women. We'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you ready to change your relationships, your business, your body, and your life? You'll want to tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with host Tony Litster. It's an inspiring hour of conversation, special guests, and wisdom that has made Tony an expert with personal life experience. His down-to-earth style will give you the keys to unlock your greatest potential. Listen for Transformation Talk Radio, live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel. Listening can truly change your life.
Each week, Jimmy Gould brings you the stories and the people that you want to hear about. Tune in to A Current Life to hear about the journey to success, how our guests became the people they are today, and the highs and lows they experienced along the way. Each hour will leave you inspired and entertained as Jimmy gets up close and personal with every week's guest and shares ideas you can identify with and apply to your own life. A Current Life with Jimmy Gould airs Fridays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
How has your belief system been formed? Has it been based on others telling you what to believe? Do you desire to make changes in your life that you know will bring you deeper fulfillment? Tune in to The Ripple Effect with Catherine Cloward for your weekly dose of inspiration and encouragement. Whether it be in your business, personal relationships, or family life, this show will help you recognize and trust your intuitive knowing. Catherine and her guests will help inspire you to make fulfilling choices for your life. The Ripple Effect is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and I'm Mariana Cacciatore, and I am talking to Catherine Kraft, Executive Director of Conspire Theater in Austin, and she's doing drama and writing with incarcerated women. So we were talking a little bit about maybe some anecdotal stories that you might be able to tell, Kat, about the what kind of effect the work that you're doing, you know, when you're there in the prison working with someone for an hour or two a week, and they're beginning to write, they're beginning to explore some of their own creative, their creative juices are beginning to flow. Does that flow, are you hearing any stories of that flow continuing to other parts of their day, week, month, as you get to know them better and see them again and again?
Yeah, we actually had one woman in our workshop in the fall of, I think, 2010, who she was really excited about what we were doing. She was always bringing in more poems and always wanted to read her poetry out loud. And she told us that she was a musician and that she was an MC, and that she was really, really glad to have this chance to continue to be creative. And I was like, oh, okay, that's great. You're an MC. Okay, fantastic. You know, and then she was released, and you know, I didn't really hear from her. And then the social services coordinator at the jail was like, oh, Whitney's on television. You have to see Whitney's on TV. and she was on BET's 106 and Park, which is a freestyle competition show. Mm-hmm. And she won. She was the first female MC to win. I think she won 5 rounds of the, you know, the freestyle competition on 106 and Park, and was like, you know, in the Hall of Fame. And it was, and I've run into her a few times since then. And it's just really cool to see her, you know, on TV doing this, and, you know, and knowing that, like, she was able to keep that going while she was incarcerated and really, you know, write more poems and just get even further into it.
That's very exciting. Mm-hmm.
And we have another woman, Rosa, who was in our class for about 6 months at the jail, and then she was transferred to a TDCJ facility. And she and I write back and forth, and she, you know, talks to me about, you know, trying to keep our games going. Like, you know, we have a game called Zip Zap Boing that she really likes. And I know that she used to play it with other women in the dorm, like when we weren't there. And she's, you know, now taken it to another state jail and talks about trying to play it with the women there. And yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. So you have this dream about a new venture with women after they have been released, you know, so to continue on this conversation about what happens when you're not in session with someone who's incarcerated. This new venture is called Performing Possibilities. Tell us a little bit about what you imagine it to be.
Oh, I imagine it to be all sorts of things. I'm really excited about the idea of working consistently with the same group of women over a long period of time, just because we do, since our group at the jail changes so frequently, we don't actually get to create like full-length pieces of theater.
Right.
We work on very short projects and short pieces. I'm really excited about the idea of creating a full-length theatrical piece that deals very directly with these women's lived experiences and with issues around incarceration, and performing it not just for a traditional theatrical audience, but performing it, you know, at the jail, performing it for, you know, different nonprofit community groups, at conferences, you know, for people in the community to see as well. Mm-hmm. I would really love to have a space, to have our own community space where women could come and just feel really welcome to take classes and be part of this ensemble. and to have the same kind of support that we create for them in the jail out in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think opening up to our creativity, having people open to their own creativity, has long, far-reaching effects physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. We unlock human potential when we are able to get outside of ourselves even for a moment.
Oh, yes. That's what the women in our classes talk about a lot, is that a lot of people think that this kind of work and working with women who are incarcerated involves really digging deep into these terrible events in their lives, getting into the trauma of it. And that's not, we don't really do that. What we do instead is we create this space of play and joy, and where we can reconnect with ourselves as human beings instead of as addicts or, you know, as inmates, as women who, you know, have had these terrible things happen in our lives, as women who have struggled. Instead, we are women who are creating. We are artists. We are joyful, you know, and a lot of times women are like, oh my gosh, this whole class, I haven't been thinking about anything but what we're doing, you know, and it gives them the chance to come, when they come back to their problems later, they might have a little more clarity and a different perspective on it.
Right. It's like taking a 180 and opening a door.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. That not even in a, like, I'm trying to do this way, but here you are. Here's an environment. Let yourself have it. Let yourself play. Mm-hmm. Which brings me to a question. Are there people that you sometimes work with who are, I would say, resistant, maybe?
Oh,
they're
of course.
In there. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about what that.
Of course. And sometimes I think it has just as much to do with being an adult as it does with being incarcerated, because we as adults don't often make a lot of space in our lives for play. Mm-hmm. So I certainly have heard, like, why are we doing this? This is dumb. This is for kids. You know, I'm an adult. I don't know why we're doing this kid stuff.
Right.
And so we really address that head on. You know, we're like, why are we doing this? What do you think? What are the benefits? Why would we come in and, you know, play a game called Yeehaw for 25 minutes? Like, why are we doing this? And a lot of times the other women in the class are like, oh, well, you know, we need to play. Like, we need to laugh. We need to feel like people and to feel like kids,
right.
You know?
Right.
But there are definitely people and women who, you know, who are resistant to it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we grow up, our lives get complicated, and we narrow in so many ways. And these are people who, you know, not just incarcerated people,
mm-hmm.
but our world sort of narrows. And particularly if we've been thrust prematurely out of our childhood for whatever reason or another, the traumas of a child's life,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes they've just forgotten what it's like to play, or they, you know, I imagine just think that it's a childish like activity. They can't
right.
let themselves open up to it.
Or you know, a lot of women talk about having to maintain a front and a facade, you know, and be mm-hmm. tough and be hard so that, you know, other people, either while incarcerated or out in the free world, don't mess with them and don't take advantage of them and don't hurt them anymore.
Right.
And so really getting the chance to take off that armor
mm-hmm.
is really valuable as well. And to remember that there are other people in the world who they can trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it makes me so curious about what their dream state might be on a night after they've had a day of opening that door or a day
yeah.
of play. Mm-hmm. Really, it'd be lovely to have somebody who was really into dream work do some follow-up work around that and see what happens in the process.
That would be very interesting.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could have anything you wanted, if there was somebody listening to our show who said they wanted to invest in an organization like yours to make it grow, what would you ask for?
I would, One of the main challenges that we face right now is that we are such a small organization. We are actually sponsored. We are a sponsored project of a larger organization, the Austin Creative Alliance, which is a 501c3, who's our fiscal sponsor. Michelle and myself do a lot of this work on a volunteer basis. Mm-hmm. Michelle works like four other jobs. You know, we both do a lot of other work because this is such a dream of ours to make this a real organization, you know? So what I would really love is for us to get enough funding for this to be Michelle and my full-time occupation. Because I feel like we could do so much more good if we really had the time to focus on, you know, on creating an organization that could keep in touch with all of these women and that could offer continuous programming to them.
So is that what you'd do if you could be here full time to staff people? You'd create additional programs for incarcerated women?
Mm-hmm. I would try to start working in the long-term prisons that are around Austin, like in Lockhart and Gatesville. Mm-hmm. This ensemble would be happening right now, you know, with women out in the community.
The performing possibilities would be alive and happening right now.
Yes. I think that we could do, I mean, because Michelle and I both work on a lot of other things, and what we could do if we could focus on this full time, I just think it would explode. Mm-hmm. I think we could do so much more programming and reach so many more women across the state.
And if you did performing possibilities, do you rent space? If you were to do a program from a theater, a local theater, where?
Yeah, we would need to find and probably rent a theatrical venue for the performance, and we would also need to find and rent rehearsal space. Mm-hmm. So a good space where we can come together and rehearse every week and work on this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think today, the reason I bring all this up is I think that there are more and more people today who are awakening to the possibility of service and generosity. Mm-hmm. Service meaning giving of their time, and generosity is giving of their resources, their financial resources. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, giving of their talent. But in order to live a life well lived, I think more and more people are waking up to the possibility of generosity as a pathway to that. Mm-hmm. And I like to be a vehicle for this. I like to open up the conversation, because I know thousands of people like you, Kat, who are good-hearted people who have a vision of what can be done, and the resources don't even come close to matching the vision. And then, of course, we read so many stories in the world about people with a great number of resources who are using them for things that give them pleasure, and still there is some sort of missing thing in their life that I think can be filled by a link with people who are doing good work in the world. Let's bring those resources together with the people who are already doing the work, and let's see what can blossom and grow together. So it's always been my dream to sort of work to make that happen. And it's part of what we do here at Bread for the Journey as well. So I want to close today by commending you for this work, and my greatest wish is that you have all the resources you need to let it grow, and that you flourish in ways that are unimaginable even to you right now.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kat. And thanks to everybody at Conspire Theater and the work that you're doing. And to our listening audience, Bread for the Journey is a nonprofit organization that could also use your support. In addition to Conspire Theater, could use your support. If you find a place in your heart to make a financial contribution, or if you'd like to start a chapter of Bread for the Journey in your town, please go to our website at breadforthejourney.org. If we all pitch in a little bit, we can change the world. And if you want to reach Kat at Conspire Theater, it's Conspire Theater, with an R-E at the end of theater, .org. And I close today, as I do every show, with this. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free. See you next week.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.